Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dana, it seems like it's been a long weekend here.
Boy,
I hope
oh
you've
boy.
Got that cup nice and full.
It is. Real talk, I'm already on the third cup here.
Wow. I should know because you texted me early this morning, like, what's wrong with the computer system? I can't get into the computer system.
Oh, man.
And I look at the time. I had the phone on the charger away from the bed.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what? Dana, what is she texting me? Is she not going to make the show? It's before 8 o'clock.
Man, yeah. And then also, I'm trying to... You know, I'm trying to get up a little bit more earlier, get myself back on a schedule.
Okay.
You
know? Okay.
So, yeah, start the day a little earlier.
Yeah, this, you know, COVID has thrown off our schedules enough. And I, you know,
I talked to
counterparts, you, some friends outside the industry, you know, when it, you know, you save like a whole extra hour sometimes, you know, at least, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. if you're commuting from anywhere, that you don't have to get up that early anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of throws you off.
Absolutely, you know, and so I, you know, it was new year, you mm-hmm. know, and trying to like you're saying, get back on track and have a set schedule and not wake up 5 minutes before I have to log on.
And how's that doing 3 weeks in now?
It's been pretty good. The goal is 7 a.m.
Okay.
Right now I'm averaging 7:20, 7:30. So
okay, I had the same goal. I'd set the alarm. Uh-huh. You know, I like to do things on the hour if I can. And mm-hmm. so I set it for 7, and I don't think that's ever worked. you know, I mean, that's like that would be like the drop dead time for me if I was going to campus.
Okay.
Because that gives enough time to shower
oh, yeah,
and hit
absolutely.
The road and get to campus. But, mm-hmm. yeah, considering I've only been to campus 4 times maybe in the last 10 months or so. Including this last, when did I go? Oh, I went on Monday. I had to do some stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a whole different, and in that case, I guess I'm not showing up till 9 or so.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it's different.
Yeah, and I was going to say, isn't it getting a little bit more restrictive on campus?
Well, it's different. I assume just like for others out there who have to go to campus either regularly, and I know there are some of our counterparts out there who do work from their campuses daily or almost mm-hmm. daily. On our campus, because they are doing construction, it's a little different in the sense that, you know where our old sheriff's bungalow was, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No longer there.
Right.
That whole area where we had like maybe 8 bungalows for classes and them has been cleared because that's the big plot of land that will turn into the new student services building sometime between now and the sun exploding. I'm not really sure when. I'm going with the sun exploding,
not exploding.
Too far afterwards.
Yeah.
to when our student services building will be built. But now they're around the corner. And because of the way the fencing is all fenced off on some parts of campus, you can still park in our parking structure. But then you have to go out to the sidewalk on the street to get into the sheriff's. And then in that case, I just asked them to let me in the back door instead of the front door of the building. Because otherwise, you literally have to walk like a quarter mile to get around to the front door to the building. So, yeah, it's a little different. It certainly is. But I was probably one of very, very few people on campus that day. So,
right.
You know, other than facilities guys running around, it is quiet.
Oh, man, eerily quiet. Sometimes I get, well, the few times mm-hmm. that I've gone to campus, well, last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little eerily quiet, like too quiet.
Yeah, in fact, I didn't even want to go over to the mailroom because I don't go over there often enough, and sometimes the door is not unlocked or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I had called our vice president, who goes to campus more often, if he would take some stuff over that check that we talked about before the show for a scholarship that came in and all that. Uh-huh. And luckily, we have someone in A&R that's there like every day.
Okay, yes.
So Javier's over there. I just knocked on the door and slipped a check under the door and said, whenever you're going over the mailroom today, because he does it daily, because A&R gets, you know, here's a big thing, you know, when you're not there on campus, A&R still gets transcripts and all that good stuff, and someone's got to be there to process. So he's been
they have to do that manual process, yeah.
He's the one sitting in the office by himself doing that and other things that can get done in person.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we feel for you out there that are still going to campus every day and waking up on time. We're trying to emulate you all, but it doesn't happen. No, this is a 7:45 kind of Dennis here when he goes, oh, my goodness, who's on the text already?
You know? It's Dana.
Yeah, my worries are, you know, again, we'd have, you know, family issues or whatever. It's like, oh, no, Dana's got to skip out. But, you know, no. Family's all good. It's just the computer stuff. So, Dana, before we even get into today's a newsy news day, just want to let you know Regions 7 and 8 community colleges, financial aid people met last week, Friday. We did our regional meeting. We usually try to schedule it within the week or so after the executive board meeting for CSFA. So, so 7 and 8, again, for those who don't know, the state of California has 115 community colleges.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Right? Yeah. So they're all divided into regions, and they do this for other student services areas like EOPS and DSPS and all that, so that we can meet locally. And Region 1 is all the way at the top of the state, literally is like the top fifth of the state, but only has like 5 or 6 colleges. Region 7 is most of L.A., but there's like 17 colleges because, you know, it's all the L.A. Community College District. So that's 9 colleges right there. We've got Pasadena, Santa Monica, and a couple others, Glendale. And then Region 8 is most of Orange County, or as I remember from the TV show, the O.C.
The O.C.
Remember that?
The O.C., yeah.
I think that was on probably before I moved out here.
Okay.
And was probably one of the driving forces of, I've got to get out here.
The OC. It all started with the OC, sir.
It might have.
Okay.
That and an NCAA conference down in Anaheim. But that's another story for another day when Dana interviews Dennis.
Yes.
We may have to do that show. But yeah, we had a lot of good topics to talk in our regions because a lot of things are going on. Mm-hmm. For example, we know, discuss on Newsy News from prior days, the Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund Act 2 has come around, so that means we're going to get new money for the schools for emergency grants and things. We talked a lot about that because we're trying to all figure out how are we going to disperse money and get emergency grants out to students. Are we going to do applications or do block amounts to students? So that was a big topic because most of us, just like we've discussed on the show, we're getting almost double plus of our money. Of what we got the first time back in last spring.
Right. Now, is that for all community colleges here in California or
all colleges?
All colleges. So
the amount, but in listening to people from last Friday, most of them are looking at twice or more of what they got the first time. The criteria was slightly different that the federal government used as far as figuring out how much money a school would get, because it's like 35% of the funding is based on Pell Grant recipients and X percent of the funding is based on your full-time equivalent students, which in other words, how many students are the equivalent of being a full-time student. So it's usually a smaller number than your actual headcount of students and a couple other factors. On top of that being that instead of $12 or $13 billion from the first round being available, this was $21 billion. So there's just more money in the pot too. So we talked about that. And then on top of that, some schools have been using their FSEOG, which is the Federal Supplemental Educational Opportunity Grants. I know it's a long word. So it's FSEOG for short. They've been using some of that money as emergency grants themselves.
Awesome. Okay.
And some schools, because you're allowed to take your federal work study dollars, which normally pays for students' work on campus, and transfer in a good year the maximum is like 25% you can transfer into FSCOG and then use it as grants. Since COVID hit, the federal government's taken that limit off. So if you don't think you're going to hire many or any students on your campus through federal work study, and there are some campuses out there that have been having a hard time, just like us.
Right.
You can transfer money into your, at any percentage, from federal work study into FSCOG and then either use it just as your regular FSCOG grants to students, which means usually your highest need students, or you can turn them into emergency grants. So a lot of schools were talking about who's doing it, how they're doing it, mm-hmm. how's it working, and all that stuff. So that was the other big topic. And then probably the other ones were the California Virtual College, and we talked a little bit about that
right
on a past show.
Uh-huh.
We talked about BFAP funding and how that's some of the money that comes. BFAP is Board Financial Aid Programs. Is money that comes straight from the state to the community colleges that's meant to help fund the operations of financial aid offices. And how most of us have not seen any increases at all.
Oh,
and in fact,
man.
That money just goes down.
It.
Yeah. So that's always good news because, you know, as operations, of course, just get that much more efficient, right?
Right. Yeah. Now, Dennis, let me ask you. Yeah, so you said it never increases.
Nope.
And in all your years of working in financial aid,
that's
have
right.
you ever seen it increase? Or no, it's just
no.
always.
No. Well, I've seen increases at the colleges, like our college. But again, what it is it's like a set amount of money from the state.
Okay.
So if there are any state senators or assembly members listening to this, listen up. The money that was allocated when BFAP was created, which was created at the time that the schools kind of were going from zero or $7 per unit to like 11 or 20, or we made a big jump.
Like
2003.
Did. Yeah,
and so
I remember.
So what happened is the state at that point decided we need to make sure we do an outreach program at every financial aid office and every community college to get students to apply for the fee waiver, which, again, over half the students at community colleges get a fee waiver that pays for their enrollment fees. So that those students where even $7 or $11 per unit could be a hindrance or barrier getting this fee waiver to take care of. But we had to have money to do that. So the state set aside $50 or $60 million, which is not a huge amount when you really think about it in a state budget this year of $200 billion or whatever it is. It's some crazy number. Set aside that money, delivered it out to the schools, but it was based upon like how many Pell Grant students you had, how many potentially eligible students for fee waiver that rolled into the formula. And so, you know, occasionally our numbers go up and down on funding based on those things. But even if we just kept doubling up every year our number of students on those, receiving those two programs, it's not like there's been more money in the pot. It just means that if I get more money one year, some other community college gets less. Mm. That's always been kind of the thing.
I see.
And unfortunately, in the last few years here, what we've seen is because of the way the funding for the overall program works, as the number of students attending community colleges have gone down in the state, the number of students getting fee waivers and Pell Grants have generally gone down in the state. And
that
so there's
sense.
Less
yeah.
money.
Uh-huh.
That's where the problem lies.
I see.
So there's actually okay. less money. So the state has not been reinvesting in what we're hitting is a logjam here. The staff like you and others who might have been hired many years ago may have had some pay raises along the way, right? You get your steps when you're new.
Right.
Move every year up a step, get a little more. Health benefits have never gone down in cost. They just continue to rise.
Mm-hmm.
So what at one time might have been a BFAP funding pot of money at my school that covered about 70% of salaries and benefits for a number of staff, and then money to do outreach events, cash for college events, scholarship ceremonies, your favorite. Buy student handbooks or pay up for other events on campus. That percentage of that amount of money left over for that has gone down and down and down and down. And at some colleges, just like ours, and this is where our compatriots at other schools talk about, all their BFAP funding from the state is now eaten up by salary and benefits. And sometimes there's a deficit there.
Oh man, that's
because
not good.
What's the other option? Or you get to a point at some point where, as soon as someone retires or leaves, who's funded under that? Because you know it covers about 50% of my office operations. The other 50% comes straight from the college and a regular fund, or what they call the general fund. You just can't fill again. You know, and we may hit that point at some point. If someone who gets paid under my BFAP funds retires or whatever, we just may have to not fill that job. And this is where, you know, again, we have nothing more but extra work every year.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, you'd say that even for as efficient as we are, there's always more to do.
Always. My mom, I think she has the perfect saying for it. It's the never ending story, only to be continued.
I think that's a I think that's a good summary to that.
Yes. Truly.
I think you've hit it on the head, maybe.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how else you can put it, because you know, we've done so many things to make things more efficient, but the reality is there's always something new to do. And then again, the idea of this funding was to make it so that we could do all the types of outreach that we wanted to do.
Right.
But how much money do I have left for any of this?
Mm-hmm.
Almost nothing.
Yeah.
And other schools too. Again, 115 schools. Every time they add a community college, they also skim a little bit of the money off. Yeah. Because again, the first next school in gets a small guarantee, but that money comes from that same pot. It's not like the state goes, oh, we'll throw you an extra $50,000. No, none of that. So if you're a state assembly member or state senator, literally, if you double the fund, an extra whole $50 million out of a 200, what was it? It was on our show. Was $220 billion state?
Yes, it was.
Budget?
Yes.
Something like that?
Uh-huh.
Financial aid would be set for years.
Man.
Because then I could afford to keep the people instead of knowing that at some point someone will retire or quit, and I will just not have the money. Or I won't be able to hire student workers that help aid and assist our full-timers. Or when I'm asked to do a cash for college event on campus, I've got to do it during the middle of the day and not on a weekend because I can't afford the overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put out a flyer because I can't afford the flyers. And I can't afford cookies and lemonade. I mean, does anyone want this? I mean, really, for such a small amount of money, but it's hard to fight on multiple fronts when you've got everyone else also clamoring for money. But and all those other programs are obviously very beneficial, but our spending or buying power has disappeared. It just is.
Oh, man.
I don't know, Dana.
I think we're going to have to look at alternative sources here.
I know. Just like with our show, right? Thank goodness What's Brewing CISFA costs nearly nothing to run.
Nothing.
But again, you know, what do we say if Red Bull wants to sponsor us?
Let's go.
I'm not a Red Bull drinker per se,
but
it doesn't mean I can't help sell their products, right?
We can, you know what, here in the Yarbrough residence, we're more than willing to convert if we need to.
Yeah, if you need to.
Yes.
And then people will be wondering, boy, that What's Brewing CISFA, Dennis and Dana are really energized in the morning. Dennis normally tries to talk at a reasonably slow pace.
Now we're going 100 miles an hour.
And now both of them are talking as if they've literally drank pure caffeine.
Yes.
And somewhere at the end of the show will be like, What's Brewing CISFA brought to you by Red Bull. Red Bull gives you wings. And then we'll have some
flying away right now.
And then we'll get some super fast 160 beat a minute soundtrack to go with us.
Man.
You know, of this 120 beat staying alive stuff. Forget that.
We'll take it to the next level here.
That's right. It'll be like dance music gone crazy. Yeah. Okay, Dana, I think we're going to have to do here a little musical interlude and then move our way into our next segment where we'll get the news.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
All right, let's actually get to some news here.
That's why we're doing this show, right?
Supposedly so. So I might have to actually talk faster. federal, let's go with this, federal student aid, or FSA, put out an electronic announcement on Thursday last week regarding their 2021-2022 FAFSA campaign. Starting January 25th, so just a couple days ago here, FSA started sending emails, texts, and mobile application push notifications to those who filed 2020-21 FAFSAs. And this would include parents of dependents who filed a FAFSA, but who have not yet done a FAFSA for 2021-22. The goal is to remind our students that the upcoming 2021-22 FAFSA is available and should be completed soon for the coming school year. As always, the form is available at FAFSA.gov or through the My Student Aid mobile app available for Apple and Android devices. We'll put a link in the electronic of the electronic announcement in our show notes in case you want to read more.
FSA released another electronic announcement last week, Friday, on a more technical matter. They announced the extending of the time frame for schools to add the coronavirus indicator for disbursements of Title IV funds for the current 2020-2021 award year. In previous guidance provided by FSA back in September, schools were required to make the updates by December 31st, but with the ongoing impact of COVID-19 on colleges and universities, the deadline has been extended until September 30th, 2021. Now, this probably sounds really technical to all our non-financial aid folks out there, but in essence, this is just one of many new processes and protocols we've added in the last 10 months or so to accommodate changes in federal aid processing due to COVID. There were a few more items in the electronic announcement on items even more esoteric or technical, but we'll leave a link to the full document in our show notes for those that want to explore this topic further. Or for our insomniacs out there, enjoy the reading material before you conk out at night.
Yeah, it's kind of a long one there and goes into a lot of other areas because it's basically the title is, COD or COD system updates regarding deadline reminders for CARES Act relief
and that the indicator. So
enticing, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the business right there.
No Pulitzer Prizes for that writing, I'm guessing. Well, even though the feds aren't cutting us a fee for all of this free advertising under electronic announcements, I have one last one from FSA for today. So last Friday, an electronic announcement went out to us to let us all know that the 2021-2022 Pell Grant payment and disbursement schedules were now available. These schedules are what they look like, our spreadsheets, right? outline the amount of Pell Grant students are eligible for as full-time, three-quarter time, half-time, and less than half-time student status based on their expected family contributions, which is the number calculated from all their FAFSA information. It tells us how much you're eligible for an aid in overall. There's some good news included in all of this. The maximum Pell Grant for the coming school year, the 2021-22 school year, will be $150 larger than the current school year. Also, the maximum EFC, that expected family contribution, increases to $5,846, which means a wider group of students could be eligible for Pell Grant. And the maximum, the minimum Pell Grant amount for a student who qualifies rises a little bit to $650. So this is an annual amount, not a semester amount. If you want to download your own schedules and check out all the numbers, we'll put a link to this in our show notes.
Well, Dennis, that's enough of the good news. Let's switch to some PBS reporting on the effects of COVID on enrollment at community colleges. In a longish article on the PBS website titled, "It's Just Too Much, Why Some Students Are Abandoning Community Colleges," summarizes much of what we've heard from students, faculty, staff, and numerous reporting by media inside and outside of higher education. With a number of interviews with students who stayed away from community colleges this past year, a common set of explanations show up. As noted, the prospect of returning to in-class learning raises the possibility of COVID infection, and for some students, remote instruction has worn out its welcome. And for good or bad, our community colleges tend to attract students who may already have so-so finances and may be facing even more challenges during this time. After all, if you as a student had to choose between classes and working to backfill for parents or spouses who have lost jobs due to the virus, you'd probably put off school for now. Find a link in our show notes to the full article.
Yeah, it's good reporting. I think they interviewed a student maybe from College Marin up in the northern part of our state, one of the community colleges. But yeah, it's all the stuff that we've heard about over time.
Absolutely. And yeah. I'm pretty sure, Dennis, you've heard your fair share of stories from students. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, all those things show up again. And this is what was reported back in March and April and May. The assumption was we are going to see dramatic increases in students again at community colleges. Because in economic downturns, that's usually true. People come back to retool or retrain. There was also the belief that students that may have been accepted to four-year colleges, especially if they were leaving their area, like to move out of state or go from Southern California to Northern California, might hang out at the community college nearby and not quite go yet, because you're going to be doing, remote learning regardless this last fall semester.
Right.
Not all of that came true. students either did go to the 4 years or they just stopped out. And again, like the article mentions, our students are already oftentimes in precarious positions due to their economic situation. Going to college just was not going to fit in.
Right. And I've even had students, they've had to drop out in the middle of the semester because of their circumstances. So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's an interesting article, well reported by PBS. But Dana, it's amazing. We've got so many more articles here on the list, but looking at the time, I think what we'll do is Wooker's going to put this into our Friday show.
Okay.
Seeing that we don't got a whole bunch of interviews going on, and we'll take a little musical break here because I'm sure you may have some other stuff to share with us that you dare
absolutely.
Us to.
Absolutely. I'm ready. I'm so ready. Yes.
And look at that. We're already back for our last sip segment, everyone. I wanted to make sure we got right on this because Dana says she has an I Dare You To selection today.
Man, I just want to apologize. I want to apologize to our listeners. I got caught up. I just got upset. I got caught up in Reno 911. What can I say?
Yeah.
What can I say? But I'm back. I have an I Dare You for everybody listening out there. I dare you all to check out, watch The White Tiger on Netflix. Dennis, have you heard of this movie or heard of this book?
No, I don't think so.
The White Tiger.
On Netflix?
Yeah, so it's originally a book, and now they've adapted it to a movie on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with that Joe Tiger guy or whatever his name
is. No.
Okay.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with that. I'll give you a little bit. So it's about a young man in India.
Okay.
Who lives in poverty, and it's his story, how he comes out of that lifestyle.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'll say.
But he doesn't get on a boat like The Life of Pi with the tiger.
Oh, thing. No, nothing. See,
there's
nothing
a lot of
like
tigers
this
showing up here.
This story is gritty and raw, like in your face. So,
all right.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
All right.
I think you guys will like it.
It sounds interesting.
It is.
Well, I'll put one out there, and I don't think I've put it out there before, of course. I'm going to suggest, and I dare you to read, the book is called The University We Need. I think the name of the author's last name is Threadgold, if I remember right. It's sitting on my nightstand next to my bed, so I don't have it nearby here, right here, in my office-y space. But it's an interesting take about, and I'm about a third through the book. It's about higher education, I'm not going to put it out there nicely that they think that we're doing great stuff all the time, and about some of our schools being a little wayward on a number of fronts, but talking about why we need to look back to the age of being able to have open debate at a college and listen to others and not inflict opinion alone into some classes and all. So it's just an interesting book in general. And supposedly at the end, the guy actually gives some thoughts on how we can help higher education in a sense revitalize itself. And we might be at that stage of time where we do need that, you know, especially when we're talking about remote learning. You know, what has that done to our humanities classes where you'd have open debate in classes, or science classes where how do you do experiments and lab stuff? Yeah, that's a little tough too.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that out there as just an interesting read for people when they have their time to go about and take some time and read. But I would say otherwise, just get on your Netflix like Dana does. And I've been trying to do, you know, and occasionally find a program like The White Tiger.
Yes.
Or catch your Reno 911 in perpetuity.
Man, I don't know what happened. I just spiraled. What can I say? I spiraled.
I got you. I got you, Dana. Well, Dana, that's about all we have time for today, but there's always our next episode. So I want to thank you, Dana, for joining us today on the show. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, check out the CSFA website at CSFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcsfa@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CSFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app. Find us by searching for CSFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcsfa.podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean put together. And you can find us on Spotify, Pandora, and iHeartRadio. And you can listen to us through the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CSFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
This has been episode number 58, recorded the morning of Tuesday, January 26, 2021. Have a great day.
And everyone, have a great week.